Good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've all had a good day today. Hope you, those of you who are mothers, have been treated well today and have enjoyed your day. Of course, more importantly for us, this is the Lord's Day, but it is very appropriate to honor our mothers, and we're going to do that after services tonight. So if you can stay around and enjoy a Mother's Day hamburger, please do that. We appreciate Mike and all those who have taken part in getting this arranged for us this evening, and we're looking forward to that. We talked this morning about the unusual topic, I guess, of hell on Mother's Day. I don't normally pick a Mother's Day subject that talks about mothers. I'm just kind of crummy that way. I usually talk about them on Father's Day or something like that. But the reason I say it's somewhat unusual is because maybe it's just a little out of what we would normally expect to come in here, and yet, when it comes to it, as parents, mothers and fathers, one of the things that we really want to make sure that we're getting across as best we can is the reality of hell and the seriousness of it, and also the futility of it. And I say futility because we don't have to be endangered of going to hell. We can live through this life with a confidence all the way through, but most of us don't. Most of us take a detour or two, and we have that worry as we go through, rightfully so, because we have gone off. But this evening I want to talk about what it is that God wants us to be doing. And I'd like to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and start in verse 15 and show you the way that God kind of set up the Israelites as they were about to go into the Promised Land. The Promised Land is certainly a type of heaven, and the punishment that they had received was a type of hell, and any punishment that they would receive in the future would be the same. And so there is a parallel here to what we've been talking about today. In verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Well, just as God promised to give the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a paradise, if you will, here on earth, he promises us the same. But we have to make sure that we walk in his ways and keep his commandments. It seems like a small thing, doesn't it, when you think about what you're trading for? My parents are in the process of selling their house, and the prices in Colorado have just gotten ridiculous. I think they paid in the mid-80s for it when they bought it, and they've already had an offer of nearly $200,000 on it. But what they're looking at as far as their next property is a two-bedroom condominium. For those of you who don't know what a condominium is an apartment that you don't get the outside of. They're just selling you the airspace. And so they're looking at a two-bedroom airspace for $140,000. And so they're trading this house with a magnificent view of the mountains and of the lake and just up in the foothills to go down and live in town in airspace for next to nothing. I think about that sometimes. That's kind of what we do. We, and of course they have some things that are kind of forcing them to do this, but isn't it true that sometimes we go out of our way because something seems a little bit too difficult or too much, and we will end up settling for something less that costs us nearly as much as far as effort and time? I'm convinced that the effort and time it takes somebody to be a sinner is actually greater than the effort and time it takes to be a servant of God. And I say that not because being a servant of God somehow doesn't take effort and time. It does. But the penalty for sin is such that the effort and time is kind of backloaded to where maybe you're just kind of cruising right now, but there's a penalty to pay later on that has a price that is really high. And so God is telling them, look what I'm setting before you, a promised land or punishment. And he says, choose. And in case they can't choose well, he tells them, choose life. Well, in 2 Peter, we kind of rushed through that this morning, but in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9, God revealed through the Apostle Peter what was coming up, specifically concerning the second coming. And certainly no generation since that time has been able to see the fulfillment of what Peter is talking about yet, and we have not yet either, but it's coming. And it may seem like it's just taking too long, and so people in many cases are falling away from God. Entire generations are, it seems, at times. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter says this through inspiration. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Sometimes it just seems like it takes so long for us to see what God has for us. And I'm not sure if part of that isn't because we really don't have our eyes open. When our eyes are open and we're looking at the things that God has done for us, I think we really are humbled and overwhelmed at the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. But if we're not focusing on the right things, if we're not careful, all we'll see are the crummy things. You remember that little poem that a man wrote to his daughter who was complaining about all of her circumstances of life? And he said, he just wrote her a little poem. He said, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. There's a lot of people in this life that just go through seeing the mud. They see the crummy things, and there are crummy things. You don't have to look very far to see them. You turn on the news, and that's what the news is. The news is the crummy things. And if they don't have enough crummy things to talk about, they'll make up crummy things to talk about. It's just the way they are. But we need to be focused upon that which is good and pure. It is true that there are bad people who do bad things, but God's patient with them just as he was with us. And even though there were times where had God wanted to end our existence at that point and we would have been separated from him for all eternity, he gave us a chance to enter this promised rest. And so even though sometimes people cause us great distress because of the evil they're involved with, aren't we glad that God is patient? I'm glad that God at least extended this world to where we are now. I'm glad to be born. I enjoy life, but I'm really looking forward to heaven. And I think that's what God wants of us. But again, he just tells us you can look, you can see, you can choose. In Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 10, we start making a transition between heaven and hell from what we were talking about this morning. And he talks about the punishment that is going to be at the end time. Remember in Revelation that we are looking at prophetic language. And so while we may not be able to understand everything, and everything may not be precisely as described here, he is giving us an idea of what it will be like. And it's really important for us to understand the warnings that he has for us, as well as the blessings that he has for us. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, says this, and the devil who deceived them
was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now focus on that for a moment. They're thrown into this burning lake of sulfur, and they're tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the devil, the beast, and the false prophets that are described within Revelation. Certainly the devil is described in other places. In verse 11, he starts talking about the judgment scene. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. This is so critical for those who think that the judgment will not hinge upon what we've done. Judgment is based upon what we've done. We hope to have forgiveness before we enter into judgment, because if we don't have forgiveness, then the punishment that's about to be described will be for us. He goes on to say this in verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead that were in it, Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done." Again, the second time we're going to be judged according to what we've done. "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Remember what this lake of fire is. For the devil, the beast, and the false prophet had been thrown into this lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do we want to be part of that? And the obvious answer is we do not. And since we do not, we need to get serious right now. But now look what God is going to do for those whose name is found in the book of life. And remember, as we talk about that, we are talking about a group of people who do not deserve to be in the book of life. Those who are thrown into the lake of fire have earned that. But those who are in the book of life don't deserve it. But this is what they get because God has made a covenant with them. If they'll do this, he will do that. In chapter 21, verse 1, the Apostle John reveals his vision. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" This is the formal covenant language that has been used since the Old Testament. I will be your God and you will be my people is what God established covenants with. And now he is revealing the final part of that covenant. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the time when there is no sorrow and no pain. He is going to do that. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. I was talking to Myrna after services today, and she said, as you were talking about the brevity of life and about the judgment that's coming, she said, "I wished you'd have talked about Lee." And I told her I didn't talk about Lee because I didn't know if it was not too soon to talk about that. For those of you who don't know, Lee Barlow is her son-in-law, Gigi's husband. Some of y'all know Cassidy and Cole. Those are Lee's children. And Lee was in a fatal accident this last week, 63 years old. Now, for those of you who are very young, that seems very old. But for those of us who are close to that, that seems like being taken out of time, does it not? It was something that he was not expecting that day, and yet there it was. Life is very brief, and sometimes There are times where we are taken out of time, or it appears that we are. And yet, this type of mourning that we experience and grief that we experience because of that is going to be taken away. That's one of the things that will make heaven heaven, is this taking of the sorrow away. taking of the crying away, taking of the pain away. I think a lot about my mother who literally has experienced pain probably just about every day of her life since she has been in her 20s until now. And certainly she experienced a lot of pain before that, just maybe not every day of her life. I can tell you for a fact that Mom is looking forward to the time where there is no pain. Some of you can relate to that. He says the reason, for the order of things, the old order of things, has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. This is the gift portion of eternity, without cost. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Sometimes this world just kind of gets us down. Sometimes we just get tired of being good. Sometimes we just get tired of feeling bad. Sometimes we get tired of bad people acting bad. There's a lot of things, I suppose, that may wear us out in this life. But when you look at this, God points out that he is going to at some point take away all this that we've experienced that is bad and give to us this water of life. And those who overcome will inherit it. I will be his God and he will be my son. Again, the covenant language. But look at verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And so after he describes all these beautiful things that we have to come, and we're not going to read the rest of chapter 21, but as you read it, you see the glory that God has set before us and the joy that's waiting for us. We don't have to choose that if we don't want. If we want, we can be vile, we can be cowardly, we can be sinful in all these different ways, and we can take our place in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Remember where the devil and the beast and the false prophet will also be thrown to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isn't it interesting that this is our choice? I like that part. Now, I've made some bad choices in the past, but isn't it nice to be able to stop in the middle of your bad choice and make good choices? There's one more passage I would like to call your attention to. Actually, two. One is very short. One is a little bit longer, not just real long. It's found in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And the idea behind this, I believe, is as Jesus is speaking to his apostles, as he's about to depart this world, is that there has always been hope for those who are righteous. And so Christ wants to remind those men who have followed him so faithfully of this hope. And by doing so, he reminds us of the hope that we have and also the blessing that's waiting for us. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." You just think about that and think about the times where you have tried to prepare something for somebody that you loved. Maybe you were getting a house ready for them to live in. Maybe it was just some big gift that you wanted to give to them because you felt they needed to be rewarded for what they have done. But you can think about the times where you've tried to prepare something in your life, something that you really wanted to be special for somebody, and now think about the fact that Christ is doing that for us. The one whom we essentially betrayed so that he had to go to his death is nevertheless giving us an opportunity to have our sins washed away and to take part in this place that he's going to prepare for us. I know a lot of y'all have been to different places in your life that when you think about just beauty, this is what you think about. When I think about beauty, I like to think of of going down to Utopia, Texas, and seeing the clear streams. I'd be satisfied with muddy streams after living in an area that doesn't have streams. Now, I like living here, but I like visiting water. It's really fine to do that. And to go down and see clear streams and to see turtles walking on the bottom of that stream and to hear the birds singing and have a gentle breeze going through. We had the opportunity a few years ago to go down to the Atlantic Ocean and watch the sunrise with our family, and it was so gorgeous seeing this occur on a calm, still, cool morning as the sun was rising over the ocean and the beauty that was present there. Every year we take the teens up to the Rocky Mountains and we will see scenery that just will take your breath away if you really pause and look at it. We've all seen these things of beauty that God has made for us here on earth to enjoy for a brief time. What must heaven be like? If God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, what must this place be like that Christ has gone to prepare for us? I can't wait to find out. But Jesus is telling his apostles, those men who have been following him, and again, us as well, that he's going to prepare a place for us. And he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way where you're going, so how can we know, or we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And this is the task we have set before us. God has prepared a hell for those who are unfaithful. And he's made every provision for us to not go there. He's given us every chance to become faithful again so that we can enjoy this. But the choice is ours. And there's one last thing. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. It's something I believe that we really need to keep in mind, because God wants us to know that heaven is ours if we'll be faithful. Not that we deserve it, but it's ours if we'll be faithful. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And so the question that I leave with you today is this: do you know that you have eternal life? Invitation's open tonight. If you have any need to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.